Welcome to the Well Community Church podcast. For more information on us and our mission to help people connect to God and to each other in every neighborhood, check us out at thewellcommunity.org or on our app, The Well Friends.
Welcome to the Well Community Church. My name is Pete Hingano. We have the privilege to hang out here today. I come from a little small town southeast of Fresno called Sanger, and I have the privilege of being the senior pastor at Sanger Bible Church. And so we get to hang out today. I'm not sure if that's a good thing for you guys, but I'm excited about being here today. Before we begin, though, I just want to give you a word of thank you. Just say thank you. Appreciate what you guys are doing here at the Well Community Church. Back in 2010, it was the first year we came to the Well Community Church. And in 2013, I happened to fall into the seminary internship program here, where they paid for me to go to seminary, paid my seminary dues, and then I interned here at the Well. And man, talk about some formative years here at the Well. 8 months later, after I was an intern here, they were crazy enough to hire me as a campus pastor for Southeast Campus. And so I was able to do that for a couple years. And man, talk about those few years of being able to just be in seminary and learn all this theology and all this knowledge about who God is, but also be here on staff and just see it practically lived out. And so if you ever come out to Sanger and just looking for a place to join, like come out to Sanger Bible Church, it would feel very much like the Well. It smells like the Well. We do the same things, very similar like the Well, all because I was formed and shaped here. A lot of my thinkings and the ways and a lot of the intentionalities, the why to what we do, all of that stuff came from here at the Well. And so before I begin, thank you. On behalf of my family and I, thank you. On behalf of Sanger Bible Church, thank you. We appreciate what you guys are doing here at the Well. So before we begin, let's bow our heads in prayer. Jesus, tonight, we get to gather here as your body. We get to open up your word in Matthew chapter 6. We get to look at it verse by verse. And today we get to interpret, we get to read it out loud and listen to you and to what you have for us today. And so, Holy Spirit, I ask that you help us listen, help us understand. Help us interpret it correctly so that we can apply it appropriately. Jesus, you are using the Well Community Church to do so many great things, and so I also thank you for what you're doing here. We gather to sing your word, to pray your word, and so we are about to hear your word, Jesus. May we honor your name, may we glorify you, and may you be pleased in what we do here today. In your name we pray, amen. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 24. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 24. What draws your attention? What do you desire to have? What or who are you devoted to? Let me ask it in this way. Where is your treasure? Where is your focus? And who are you serving? Now, as I ask those questions, now, you don't need to give me the answer that the churchy answers. Don't give me the answers I want to hear. Like, don't fake it with me. In fact, don't tell me, show me. I want to see your debit card transactions. I want to see your calendar. I want to see your material possessions. I want to see your social media feed. I want to see your Instagram story, your Snapchat. And once I see those, then I'll know how to answer the question, where is your treasure? Where is your focus? Who or what do you serve? In chapter 6, the first 18 verses, we were challenged last week by Mike Sladen to have an audience of one. That through giving and through prayer and through fasting is not for the attention of others. It's not to show off to others. It's not for the recognition of others. That's what the religious leaders were doing at the time. But Jesus was saying all of this is due for the audience of one, for him, all for God, out of devotion and understanding for who he is. Now, to be honest, when I give, when I pray, and when I fast, it is the hardest thing to do with pure motives. Like, it's hard to do things without an agenda for the Lord. It's hard to do things for an audience of one. And to be honest, if I am to do things for the audience of one, it's myself. Like, there are times that prayer is the last thing I want to do before I eat dinner. Right? I'm just straight up hungry. And so my heart is not in the right place. Jesus knew that you and I would struggle with this. Jesus knew that we would struggle internally with our motives, that we would struggle internally with our desires and our flesh. And so in our text today, with the heart in mind, Jesus is going to address our very actions. He won't address anything specific that we do, yet he's going to address everything that we do. And so he's going to ask these three questions. Where is your treasure? Where is your focus? And who are you serving? And he's going to answer these three questions by showing us two kinds of riches in verses 19 and 20. One that's perishable, the other is imperishable. He's going to show us in two areas of attention in verses 22 and 23. One that's corrupt, another is incorruptible. And he's going to show us there's two masters in verse 24. One is insecure and one is secure. But then in verse 21, that's where he's going to ask the foundational question, where your treasure is where your focus will be, which will then show who or what you serve. And so let's begin. Verse 19. Jesus says in verse 19, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Jesus opens up with a command, but it's not a command to perform, but rather a command to abstain. Jesus says, do not lay up treasures here on earth. In other words, he's saying, don't hoard, don't collect, don't stockpile, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. So the question is, what are these treasures that Jesus is talking about? Simply put, he's talking about money and possessions. Do not store money. Do not store up possessions. Do not hoard money. Do not hoard possessions. Do not do any of that here on earth. So then the question is why? Why are we not supposed to lay up treasures here on earth? Look at what he says. He says, that's where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. He's simply saying, man, don't store up treasures here on earth because it won't last. The things on this earth are perishable. They will lose value. They will lose its worth. It's subject to decay. The moth will come and eat at it. The rust will eventually absorb it. And then while you're trying to store up treasures here on earth, there's going to be thieves circling around you trying to steal from you. It ain't safe. Essentially, if you lay up treasures here on earth, it will be ruined. It will rot. Eventually, you'll be ripped off. Now, hear me clearly on this. Jesus is not saying you can't have money. Jesus is not saying you can't own things. He's not saying that you can't have an iPhone. He's not saying that you can't have Under Armour shirts or pants or whatever that is. And he's not saying you can't have a truck. He's not saying you can't have a home. He's not saying don't invest your money, don't save up for retirement. He's not saying any of that. What he is saying is do not invest in things that won't last. Don't be obsessed with things that are earthly. Don't be consumed with perishable things. You see, the religious leaders at the time, they were dead set on building up their treasures here on earth. They were obsessed with material things, especially their outer garments. Like they were obsessed with what they wore. They treasured their garments, and so they would accumulate these garments so that they would look spiritual, that they would look rich, and that they would look blessed. Giving off the idea that they are being blessed by God. Yet Jesus says here, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Those things won't last. But look at verse 20. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. So instead of storing up treasures here where it won't last, Jesus says, hey, lay it up into heaven where it's imperishable, where it's eternal. Like, be a fanatic about that. We're always looking for a good deal, right? We're kind of like that generation that's just looking for a good deal. There's Black Friday and Cyber Mondays. We're always looking for a good deal. What Jesus is saying here is like, man, this is guaranteed. Like, it's safe. Like, it cannot be destroyed. It's protected here. It cannot be stolen. Jesus says, invest in the things that will last eternally. He says, be obsessed about the things that are protected and safe. He says, be consumed with what's imperishable, which is eternal. So you're probably sitting there like, okay, Pete, like, I get it. Like, it makes sense. Like, live, you know, kingdom-minded, you know, eternally minded, live that way. Like, that's a great idea. It's really cool, Pete. Thank you. We're done here. Like, thank you so much. I'm out of here. The question that we need to wrestle with is, how does this look practically? How do we lay up treasures in heaven? Well, there's two areas I want to just kind of lay it out here for all of us. Two areas that I think are biblical areas. First is the local church, and the second is relationships. You see, what you all are doing here at the Well Community Church, helping people connect to God, to each other, and every neighborhood, that's eternal. That's you guys laying up treasures in heaven. Like, you guys are just straight up laying treasures in heaven. I'm out in Sanger, and I'm seeing what God is doing in and through the Well Community Church. You guys are creating space, Fig Garden renovation, the land that you guys just bought. Like, you guys are investing in the next generation. That's eternally minded. You guys are investing in things that are going to last. Discover Fresno's coming up. In the next week, you're allowing people to become involved in what God is doing in Fresno, laying up treasures in heaven, the church plants, and then investing in me. Taking in a young in his faith, has a family, you guys invested in me, poured into me. And now we're out in Sanger advancing the gospel. That's what you guys are doing here at the Well Community Church. And so if you call this church your local church, be about it. If you call the Well Community Church your congregation, your local church, don't just wear the t-shirt and the sticker on the car. Be about it. Give and be all in, all hands on deck. Participate in what God is doing here. This is the local church that God has brought into your life. Be a part of it. be part of it. Now, just so you guys know, there's a family out in Sanger. They went to the well for a little bit. Then they bought a house in Sanger, and now they're all about Sanger Bible Church, and they're helping people connect to God and to each other in every neighborhood. Well, there's a young boy that ended up at our church last April. His father had just died in January, and so he's showing up eighth grade. He's been kicked out of school a couple times, selling drugs, smoking weed, and somehow, someway, God brings him to our church. Well, eventually, somebody in our church sponsored him to go to church camp. So he went to camp over the summer, placed his faith in Jesus Christ. Amazing story. And typically at camp, you're like, oh, yeah, the high, right? Like, everything's high. And he's talking about, and then we come back, and we're like, okay, we're going to do a baptism. He's like, no, I'm good. 2 months later, after the camp, he gets baptized. But 2 weeks before he gets baptized, the family that was here at the well that now goes to the Sanger Bible Church, they called him and said, hey, we're going to mentor you. And so now, till this day, the young boy goes over to their house every Thursday night. They cook dinner, and they do life. That family that used to come to the well that now is at Sanger Bible has taken in this young boy and are mentoring him, and then he gets baptized, and he's standing at baptism, and like he's like, hey, guys, like I'm making my faith public. And his mom and his sisters are right there, and they don't go to church. He's like, I'm making my faith public, and I need your help. He literally says, I need your help. You see, up to that point, he was getting kicked out of school. His grades were below a 1.0. But here's the cool thing. 3 weeks ago, he got an award for having a 3.7. See, that's something you guys will never know. But that's something you guys have created here at the well, and that's happening at Sanger Bible. That's eternal stuff. That's stuff that's lasting forever. You're going to see that young kid, his name's Jesus. You're going to see him one day in heaven, and he's going to be like hanging out so happy, and you're like, man, you have no idea, Jesus. He has no idea what the well's doing here. That's what you guys are doing here. That's eternal stuff. That lasts. You take that to heaven. The other area I want to speak into is relationships. As Christians, we are called to love each other well. We are called to love each other well by serving, forgiving, confessing, praying, encouraging, and with accountability. 1 John actually says that we are to lay our lives down as Jesus laid our lives down for us. Like, just think about that for a minute, that we are to lay our lives down for others. Like, really think about that. So Jesus, who was in heaven at one point, saw a need here on earth. He saw sinners in need of a savior. So what does he do? He comes down to earth. He becomes human. He is equipped to meet our needs. And so he does. He dies a sinner's death, although he didn't sin. He met our need. He paid our need in full. That's what Jesus did for you and I, and that's how we are to love other Christians. And so if you see somebody in need and you have the means to meet that very need, we are called to be like Jesus and lower ourselves, serve, and meet that need. That's laying up treasures in heaven. That's eternal living. So somebody needs a lawnmower and you have one, meet that need. Someone needs a meal and you have the means, make them three meals. Somebody needs a car and you have two, lend them one of your cars. Even better, gift it. Someone needs a prayer, don't say, oh, yeah, I'll pray for you. No. Pray for them right then and there. If they text you, hey, can you pray for me? Don't text them back, yeah, I got you. No, call them and pray for them. Laying up treasures in heaven is us loving each other well. It's you being part of the local church. It's in that investing in both of those things, being consumed in that. That's imperishable. That's eternal. Why? Look at verse 21. For where your treasure is, your heart there your heart will be also. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Notice Jesus doesn't say where your heart is, that's where your treasure will be. He says where your treasure is, wherever that's at, earthly or eternal, that's where your heart's going to be. If possessions and material things is your thing, if earning more money is your goal, whatever you do, that's where your heart will be. If God is your treasure, that's where your heart will be. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is also. In the early 2000s, if you saw me, you knew exactly where my treasure was. You can literally see it. Everything that I wore, everything that I had, everything that I bought, everything, the way I talked, the music I listened to, it was obvious what I treasured. And you knew where my heart was when you saw that. Right behind it. You know what I treasured the most? My culture. I treasured my culture. I had the utmost pride in being a Tongan, a Pacific Islander, a Polynesian. And because I treasured it, it brought me attention. It brought me recognition, status, reputation. And oh, I loved it. I loved it. And it wasn't until 2010. It wasn't until 2010 I realized for the very first time that my culture, my very own culture, was an idol in my life. It was above Jesus. Everything I did, all my actions, how I spent my money, the possessions I had, it was all oriented around my culture. And my heart was there also. Now, hear me correctly. I'm not saying culture is a bad thing. Like, hear me correctly on that. I'm not saying culture is a bad thing. It is, though, if it's above Jesus. Because anything is bad when it's above Jesus. Where your treasure is, so is your heart. Look at verse 22. Now, the second question, where is your focus? The eye is the lamp of the body. And so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? You know those pictures that have like two objects in one picture, or it's two people in one picture, but you can't really tell which is which, but you can see one person clearly, and then another person next to you be like, oh yeah, I see this person. You're like, I can't tell. It's like an illusion picture. Like, and then once when you're able to see both people in a picture, like you're like, oh, that I could totally see that. And it's hard to unsee. Now you that becomes your focus. It dominates your vision. When my culture was an idol in my life in the early 2000s, everything I saw was through the lenses of my culture. It dominated how I viewed things. My attention was on my culture's perspective, and it controlled what I saw and how I saw it. That's the point Jesus is making here in verse 22. Where your treasures are, it will become your lens that you see through. Where your treasure is, it will become your focus. Where your treasure is, it will then become your perspective. And so if it's on earthly things, your eye will be filling up your lives with darkness. But if it's on eternal things, your eyes will be healthy. Your eyes will be locked on God. Your eyes will be full of light. Therefore, we will then live in the light. We will then run this very race, as the author in Hebrews says. We will run this very race looking to Jesus, who perfected the race. We will then live like what Paul says in Colossians chapter 3. We'll seek the things that are above, to set our minds on the things that are above, not on the earthly things. And so the question is, where is your treasure? Because that's where your focus is. And he goes on in verse 24. Jesus now speaks specifically into this, and he says, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. Who are you serving? It's simple. God or money? God or wealth? Like, this is key in chapter 6. It is a pivotal point in chapter 6. It's the climax of chapter 6. It's the all-important question. Who are you serving, God or wealth? Like, too many times we wrestle with this question and we try to serve both, right? We try to live it up here on earth and then, like, oh, I can't wait to be in heaven while you're trying to, like, live it up here on earth. No, you can't do that. If that's your mindset, if that's what you're doing right now, I'm sorry to say, you're not laying up treasures in heaven. You're laying not treasures here on earth. When it comes to God, it's either God, all God, or nothing. So who do you serve? God or money? Who do you serve? God or possessions? Who do you serve? God or a status? Who do you serve? God or popularity? Who do you serve? God or your culture? God or yourself? We can only serve one. So to land the plane, so to speak, to end our time here today, the question is where is your treasure? That's where your focus will be. And that will show me and others, and God, who you are serving. For most of us here today, today's passage, today's sermon was most likely a punch in the gut. Like on Tuesday, I'm just working on this, and I'm like, oh. Like, everything that I loved about when in the early 2000s, about just what my culture, you know, just all the attention that I was getting from that, I thought it was done. Now I'm a pastor at a church, and like on a Sunday, and like we're growing, and so people are excited about the growth, and so there's compliments and all this stuff, and so I thought, like, you know, because my culture's not no longer an idol, I thought I was done with all that, but no. Like on a bad day when people are just kind of giving compliments and like that, I walk away like, oh yeah, that was all me. Because all the attention, the recognition. And so if this is really speaking to you, man, I pray that as you are a child of God, I pray that this is a reminder to you. I pray that this is a reminder to us all that we have not been acting like the children of God that we are. We've been selfish. We're all about ourselves. We've been focused on the earthly things, not what's eternal. And our vision has become corrupted because we're so focused on the earthly things, and that's all we see. If that's you here tonight, you find yourself just kind of leaning towards the earthly things, I want to encourage you, confess. Repent and ask for forgiveness. Our God is faithful and just and gracious to forgive you. Now, there's some people here today who still question, why God? Like, why should I serve God? I'm totally cool with everything that I'm doing here on earth. Why God? Let me help you understand. If that's you, let me help you understand. You are a sinner. I'm a sinner too. You are a sinner in need of a savior. You need somebody to pay for your sins. And here's the thing. You can never do enough to pay for your sins. There's nothing you can do to eventually pay for your sins. Only death. And so God became human. Jesus walked this very earth. He saw your needs as a sinner, and he came to meet your needs. And all you have to do is trust him. Trust in the person. Trust in the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And in return, you have a new life. In fact, the Holy Spirit is now sealed in you, and you become a new creation in Jesus. And you get to live life to the fullest because you get Jesus. Not wealth, not material things. You get Jesus Christ. And what comes with Jesus Christ is the church and the family. Safe and protected from moth, rust, and thieves. Church, wherever your treasure is, it will guide where your focus is, and it will show us who you serve. Now, a practical application, just like how we can just apply these verses to us daily here. Whenever you go to purchase something, wherever you go to do anything, ask this simple question: how can I use this to further the gospel? It's a simple question. And so if it's a sweater, how can I use this to further the gospel? Another coffee at Starbucks, how can I use this to further the gospel? And so it may kind of sound funny and like cheesy or anything, but seriously, if you're holding up something and say, man, how can I use this to further the gospel? Now we're thinking eternally. Now we're thinking eternally minded. Like now our focus is in the correct place. Because here's the truth. There are going to be days you're not going to want to do stuff for the Lord because your heart is still evil and stuff like that. There's days, but if you ask the question, how can I use this to serve the Lord? The Holy Spirit is going to work and stir in you. Trust me, he will. As a Tongan, I now ask this question, how I can use my Tongan culture to further the gospel. And so everywhere I go, people are asking, hey, what's that tattoo you got right there? People, hey, man, you kind of look like The Rock. And I say, I know, I'm better looking. But yeah, kind of, you know, he looks more like me. So what are you all about? And we start talking. Then people say, hey, do you know how to do that dance? You know, the whole like haka thing, you know, is that what's called? Yeah, you know. And so we have conversations. What's happening now, because I see it, God is allowing me to use my culture as a connecting point for me to eventually proclaim the gospel. And so if we were to ask the question, how can I use this to further the gospel? Eternally minded is what begins to transform. As a father, I got 3 kids, and I have anger issues, like big time anger issues. Sorry, I'm going through regen right now. So like the whole just being authentic is just coming out. Like I have big time anger issues. And when my son, the oldest, you know, just something happens, and I've been just kind of just snapping at him. Going through this text and asking the question, maybe I need to ask the question, Pete, whatever you're about to say, how is that going to further the gospel in his life? Ouch. A simple, practical way for us to leave here is to ask the question, how can I further the gospel with this? Not KonMari's question, does this bring me joy? Not that question, okay? No, how do I further the gospel with this? Ask that question. Let's pray. Jesus, it's an honor to be able to teach the very words you spoke. It's so hard to answer the questions that you ask. Where our treasure is, where our focus will be, and essentially asking, who are we serving, you or ourselves? Today, Jesus, I pray that whatever it is that you're stirring through us through the Holy Spirit, whatever things that we have at home, whatever things that are just tangible that we're just creating, it's just creating us to see more earthly things. I pray, Jesus, that through the work of the Holy Spirit, you can help us focus on you. Help us understand. Help us understand to be eternally minded. Help us see your things, not our things. Jesus, we are your children. You call us your children. May we act like your children. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Thanks again for joining the Well Community Church podcast. Be sure to check out thewellcommunity.org or our app, The Well Fresno, for more information on us, ways to connect, service times, and locations.